Hello, I'm John Hilliard, assistant editor with SearchDataBackup.com. I'm here today speaking with Greg Schulz, founder of Storage.io, a consulting firm. We're speaking today about solid-state drives, the future, and the current trends of this growing technology. How's it going today, Greg?
Hey, John, I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
Great, thank you. Let's just jump into this thing. Now, one thing I was really curious about, mechanical hard drives have been around for a long time. You can get them at relatively low cost. I can build storage arrays with terabytes of data with this proven technology. Why would I want to, as an organization, want to switch from this technology to something like solid-state drives?
John, great question. I mean, the hard disk drive has been around for over 55 years. I mean, it clearly qualifies for an AARP card, but it hasn't redeemed it yet. You know what? Solid state has also been around for many decades, but something important that's happening here, which is disk drives are being used and have traditionally been used for both storing data but also supporting IOs. But disk drives, the spinning drives, haven't kept up on a performance capability as they have on the space capacity basis. So organizations should expand. You know, to say switch from hard drive to solid state, that might be pretty binary, but organizations of all size should be adding some solid state to address I/O problems. Right now, I/O problems are solved by throwing lots of hard drives at it, which means underutilization, but also means more complexity and cost. So if your organization has an I/O bottleneck, whether it's IOP, bandwidth, throughput, that's being resolved today by throwing lots of hard drives at it, you are a candidate for solid state.
Well, let's talk about the performance gains with SSDs. What makes them work faster, and how much faster are we talking about?
You know, John, where the speed boost comes in is that solid state is a form of memory. Solid state, particularly with NAND flash, single-layer cell SoC, multi-layer cell MLC, is persistent. Unlike DRAM, when you turn it off, DRAM, you lose your power. With flash, it's persistent, just like a disk drive. But where the speed comes from is like DRAM, where you're not waiting for that disk head to rotate around and then seek with the disk head with that mechanical delays associated with it. It's random access memory, just like in your computer, your RAM. It's very, very quick. You're accessing it directly at the speed of memory. So that's where the biggest speed boost comes into play. And what you're looking at, throwing out some just really loose numbers. Okay, we've got to put caveats around these. But, John, typically a very fast disk drive can do couple of hundred small IOPS per second, or teens of megabytes per second throughput for doing sequential type work. A typical solid state flash drive should be in the neighborhood of tens of thousands of IOPS per second. Okay, bandwidth should be pretty comparable throughput, and that's for the devices itself. Now, just like a fast disk drive, a fast solid state needs to be put or paired with a fast controller, a fast interface, so that it actually doesn't slow the things down. But that should give you an idea of the magnitudes that if you're using tens of 20s or even hundreds of disk drives today, aggregated, striped, RAID protected, to achieve a level of performance, boy, you should be looking at solid states.
Now, it's kind of a logical continuation of that thought. Are current storage technologies compatible with SSDs, particularly when you talk about speed advantages? Obviously, the form factor in many SSDs is similar to that of the traditional hard drive, but does that then mean that you get the performance gains with existing technology, or does an organization looking to switch over to SSDs have to also look at switching over technologies like arrays, et cetera?
John, all the pieces need to be there. In other words, your performance, typically speaking, you can put a fast solid state even into the slowest storage controller, the slowest storage system, the slowest adapter, and see some performance improvement. However, you may not be fully utilizing that capability until all the pieces, the faster interface, the faster controller, are all put into perspective. So to answer your question directly, no, not all storage systems are able to fully leverage, fully utilize. Are they compatible? Sure, as you mentioned, you've got the 2.5, you've got the 3.5-inch, either fiber channel SATA or SAS-based interfaces. They can plug them in. But how well can that controller, how well can that storage system fully exploit that underlying storage. Likewise, how fully can a server, for that matter, or a laptop, a desktop, fully exploit the capabilities of that faster solid-state drive? So while many of them are compatible, it's more than just simply plug and play to achieve that full benefit, the full capabilities.
Kind of jumping on that one, just continuing a little bit, how would you address that? I mean, do you go to the vendor and ask, you know, what's the compatibility, or do you bring in a consultant? How do you handle that?
There's a couple different ways. Certainly, depending on what you're getting into, the type of project, you may want to talk to a consultant, you may want to talk to an advisor, just get their thoughts, their opinions on what to look for, because there are so many different types of solid states. There's the single-layer cell SLC, which has a longer duration, a better durability than the lower-cost multi-level cell or MLC. But what is it that you're looking to do? Is it a read problem? Is it a write challenge that you're looking to overcome? Is it sequential for throughput, or is it random? What is it, the particular issue in the configuration? But also the vendors should be able to walk you through it. They should be able to show you reference architectures, benchmarks that actually show how their systems perform compared to other systems given different workloads. If a vendor just says, yes, we support solid state, so we're faster, I'd ask them some more questions like, okay, show me your benchmark. Show me for IOPS. Show me for throughput. Show me for transactions. Show me how much you can improve on the latency on a given workload, a given transaction. Latency is interesting, John, because vendors like to talk IOPS. And if you're throwing IOPS numbers around, particularly solid state for benchmarks, well, most of the benchmarks are very, very small, like a half K, a half block, which may not be applicable to your environment if you're doing bigger IOs. But the one that's interesting for performance, particularly for interactive type things, is what is the latency? Because latency usually doesn't lie. But ask those types of questions. How do they use the solid state? What do they do for durability? What do they do for survivability? How does it integrate with snapshots and other functionality? Or are they just simply putting it into a slot where a disk drive would have occupied?
Let's turn this around. What are some of the drawbacks of SSDs? I mean, one thing I was curious about was the long-term reliability of this technology. And, you know, I think everybody knows how to break a traditional hard drive. So how basically do we break an SSD?
You know, I'll get in trouble for saying this, but it's actually tougher today than it was just a couple of years ago to break a NAND flash, particularly a multi-level cell. It's a little trickier today. It used to be rather easy. Simply use it. You could wear them out. The more cells, like multi-level cell, John, that they will wear out. That's where you have the terms of duty cycle, duration, things like that. But there's a growing confidence. If a solid state has SLC, which most enterprises have, there's a pretty good confidence they have a very good duty cycle, very good durability. Where the vendors are working very diligently is around multi-level cell MLC to reduce the cost down. And what they're doing is enhancing their controller algorithm so that they can do things to maximize wear leveling to prevent individual cells from repeatedly being used, which would wear them out.
A number of companies have recently released mid-market storage arrays with SSDs, but I was curious, who is taking a serious look at this? You know, are there specific industries or applications that would benefit more from adopting SSDs than others?
John, where it comes back to is solid states have been around for a while. They've always been expensive, so consequently they gravitate towards those very high-profile, those very IO-intensive workloads. The reality is, the smallest organization can benefit by some amount of cash if you're doing anything where productivity or time is money. And it could be something as simple as a SQL, a Microsoft SQL application, a small Oracle database, SharePoint, file systems, Exchange, anything where there's a high amount of very concentrated IO activity where that is your barrier. And that's where you're seeing vendors bring the capabilities down into even some of the SMB, some of the SME, or even into the high-end SOHO-type products, introducing small solid-state drives as a part of NAS appliances, or even Seagate with what they're doing with their XT or their hybrid drives, which are integrating solid-state capability right into an existing hard drive so that you can actually put them right into your laptop without having to take out a large loan to acquire them.
Also, was wondering, with the recent flooding in Thailand, can you talk a little bit about what that means for the SSD market right now?
Good point there, John, which is that for those that aren't aware, is that, yeah, there was some major flooding in Thailand, and that is where either both drives or the hard drives are built there, but a lot of the components. So if the drive isn't built in Thailand or in Malaysia, it might be in Singapore or China or one of the other geographies. Some of the components that are used in hard drives as well as in other electronic-type devices are manufactured in Thailand. And with the flooding, a lot of those factories have been disrupted, so there's supply chain, there's going to be shortages of hard drives. Well, does that mean that solid-state can step in? It can't. But here's the catch, is that the price of a hard drive is going to go up, which so far has been the barrier for adopting solid-state. If the price of a hard drive goes up high enough, organizations might look and say, well, why don't we buy solid state? But here's the thing. For organizations that are using lots of hard drives grouped together, aggregated together, striped together to achieve a given level of performance, now would actually be a good time to go in there and do some I.O. consolidation, put some solid state drives in, mirror and protect them, move that I.O. activity off of those hard drives, and then redeploy those hard drives to keep yourself running, particularly if there is going to be a shortage and higher price on the drive until things stabilize. So it could actually prompt some good proactive best practices, go in there and do some I.O. consolidation.
These are some interesting points, Greg, and I appreciate your time on this, and I'm sure we'll be circling back with you in the future regarding solid-state drives.
No worries. Anytime, John.
All righty. And again, we've been talking to Greg Schulz, the founder of Storage.io, the consulting firm. I'm John Hilliard, assistant editor for SearchDataBackup.com. And as always, for the latest in storage news and data backup issues, check out our website, SearchDataBackup.com. Thank you again for listening.